Well, good morning, everyone. May we open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for the ability to gather together. Just spend a few minutes of time looking at your word. And may we learn from you today in the area that we need a touch, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin by just singing holy, 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 just praising and worshiping the Lord. And if you need the words, they're on the back side of page 2. If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, and we're continuing in the account of where Jairus' daughter was healed or in process of being healed, and then the 12-year issue of blood woman appears, and we're going to look at her today once again. Now, about 3 months ago, we covered this same exact passage in the Gospel of Matthew, and at that time we focused primarily on the woman in her outcast position and trying to understand just what it really means to be in that culture, in the Hebrew religion, with uncleanness, because Leviticus says that any woman during her customary impurity cannot have any contact with the public, cannot really leave her home in effect. And if that bleeding continues, that same situation continues. So she would have been 12 years without any contact, basically, with the outside world. She would not have been able to see her husband or kids or really anything else. And such a just one step above leprosy, really. And we focused on that and the fact of her faith, and she wanted to touch just the hem of Jesus' garment, and that was all it would take in her mind. And we marveled at that. And that is a very important part, I believe, of this passage. But today, I want to look at something just a little bit different, since we took kind of a look at that the last time through. And this is almost the same account verbatim as Matthew. There is one difference, and that is that Mark said that she had spent all her money seeking medical care, and not only did they not help her, but he adds, and she got worse. Dr. Luke doesn't say that. Maybe he's protecting the medical profession. I don't know, but at any rate, in Mark here it said, and she got worse. But I just want to draw your attention to the backgrounds of these two people, Jairus and this anonymous woman, and try to ask you to relate yourself to where you are today, the circumstances in your life, and then even project on further is, how prepared are you for a tragedy? And I'm saying that primarily from a spiritual standpoint, because we never know when tragedy is going to strike. And we have two tragedies covered in this passage. One just happened with Jairus' daughter. The other one has been going on for 12 years. But we're going to see dramatic changes in both because of Jesus. And if we compare them a bit, we see Jairus by name. The woman with the blood is anonymous. Her name isn't even given to us. We see Jairus, a leader in the synagogue. We see this anonymous woman not even allowed to go into the synagogue for 12 years. We see Jairus, a rich man. And we see this woman, penniless. She spent all that she has, and she's only gotten worse. We see Jairus having basically 12 years of his home filled with laughter and joy as his little daughter was born and grows up. We see the same woman over the same length of time suffering dramatically from her affliction. So where are you today? Are you closer to being in Jairus's things are going great? Are you closer to being the woman who is in a desperate condition and you really don't even know how you're going to get out of it? Well, I think first let's look at the Jairus condition. I think the Jairus condition is the most dangerous condition. I think it's very easy for us to get complacent. I think it's easier for us when things are going well to kind of sit back and say, well, I must be doing everything right because look at the blessings God is giving me. Well, I don't think that's necessarily the right conclusion. I think we should say the Lord is blessing me in spite of what I'm doing, and praise to Him and all glory be to Him. But I do think that we need to take inventory, particularly when things are going well. How is your spiritual health? Are you spending as much time in the Word now as if you were in the woman's condition in a desperate, desperate position of needing healing? Probably not. But how close are you coming in this position of being in Jairus's, where everything is going well, where you've got plenty of food? When you pray, give us, O Lord, this day our daily bread, there's one thing when you have no food, when you're praying for one meal a day, like most of the world is, or when you have, if you're living in this country, you have the pantry full of food. Even if you're unemployed, you probably have your pantry full of food, right? And so when we say, give us, O Lord, this day our daily bread, it doesn't mean the same thing when we're sitting on all this plentiful bounty that the Lord has given us compared if we wouldn't have it. So where are you? How's your prayer life? How is your time in the Word? How consistent is it? How much of your time are you actually spending thanking the Lord? Thanking Him for His grace primarily. Jesus said what? Rejoice in this, that your names are written in the book of life. How thankful are you for that? And is your physical strength comparable to your spiritual strength? We don't really know, but let's just look at our spiritual strength, because we can control that in one way more than the physical strength, I think, to a degree. But are you ready for a tragedy? Are you spiritually prepared for a tragedy? And I don't know that we can ever say, well, I know what I would do in a tragedy. No, I don't know what I would do. But will you call out to the Lord? Do you have scriptures of promise that you really believe in? you have four or five of those. I've mentioned a few in here that are kind of some of my favorite. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Now, that scripture is there. It's true. It always has been, always will be, whether you're going through no tragedy or whether you're going through the greatest tragedy in your life. Psalm 3 says, you're a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Psalm 119:75, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Will that come to your mind when tragedy strikes? I don't know. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear, be dismayed. Maybe Isaiah got his idea from that one. I don't know, but it's from the Spirit, we know. So what's your physical and your financial condition today? Is it more like the woman with the blood issue, or is it more like Jairus? And just your basic circumstances in life, are you grateful? Are you thankful? Do you know you're really looking to the Lord no matter what? Or is your joy based on your circumstances? I pray not, because that's going to go up and down. It's going to hit the ceiling at times. It's going to hit the pit at times. And if that's the way the world is, but that shouldn't be the way we are, because our trust is in the eternal things, right? Where we're going. We're right around the corner from eternity of being with Jesus forever. So if you can really focus on that, it's hard to have a long face regardless of what's happening to us, right? Well, let's pray today for those who need some encouragement. And however the Lord leads us to pray, we want to pray for the church always around the world. We want to pray for the fellowship right here, of course, and just how we're led to pray for young people, old people, middle-aged people, and so forth. And whatever the Lord puts on your heart is led by the Spirit. We'll pray together in a group here for a time like we always do, and then we'll close in small groups so everybody can pray. And initially, I'd like to see everybody have a chance to pray. Maybe not all of you want to pray, but if you do want to pray, I pray that we would give each other a chance and kind of restrain from praying the second, third time until at least others have had a chance to pray. And it's okay to have periods of silence while we're waiting on the Holy Spirit. We don't think, oh, it's quiet, I got to say something. Well, if the Spirit is telling you that, say it. If it's not, then maybe we could just be quiet and wait on the Spirit to prompt us, right? Father, we thank you for this great study of Jairus and how you turned that situation around so beautifully right away as he approached you. But we also thank you for your faithfulness with a woman who had been afflicted for 12 years. And just a touch of you is all it took. And Lord, we know just a touch from you is all it took to bring us life, to save us from death, and to transform us. And since then, you have been faithful, carrying us all the way we're here today. You've never left us nor forsaken us. And so you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are just wanting to rest in your everlasting arms. But we do want to pray. You've given us the weapon of prayer. We want to pray this morning as you would lead us. So lead us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.